Welcome to John Wesley UMC, where our mission is to connect people to Jesus, to keep you up to date on what is happening within the church and how you can stay connected. Here are a few announcements.
Are you a first-time guest? Be sure to stop by our Welcome Center for more information on how you can get more involved through our online services and classes.
Get ready for a great time of worship. A seventh time down comes to John Wesley this Friday, April 30th. Our very own modern worship team, Rain, will be the opening act. Doors open at 6:30 and the show starts at 7:30. Invite your friends and family and get your tickets today. We would like to take this time to thank you for joining us every Sunday in person and online, as well as your support to John Wesley through giving. We invite you to give online, in person, through text, by mail, or through the new JWUMC app.
We encourage you to continue to visit our website at www.jwumc.org or visit our social media pages for up-to-date information on Sunday services, safety guidelines, and upcoming events.
So please, join us in welcoming Pastor Marty Dunbar as we continue the sermon series, The Soul of Music.
Your Echo Auto lost its connection with your phone.
Well, again, it's great to be with everybody here. We appreciate the band lead us in great worship, huh? And that special song, awesome. So we have a particular scripture that we've been thinking about the entire series, and we're going to get into that and a little portion of that here in just a moment. But I was thinking about, what would we do without music in our life? I mean, seriously, right? We've talked about this before, but I was just in the car for a couple of weekends for long drives, and it's just so awesome to be able to play music. I mean, driving in a car, listening to music sort of go hand in hand for me. Think about the movies in our life, right? I mean, those big, huge, dramatic moments or those tense moments, without the music in the background, you would not have the emotional response that you typically do. I guarantee it. I mean, just watch a movie with no sound, right, going on in the background. It's just wild. And then also worship. Music is so important to worship, and a lot of times we preachers like to think that this is the most important time where we're like preaching and teaching and stuff, and it might be the most important, but a lot of people say, well, I just enjoyed worship. I enjoyed the music, you know? The music touches so many different people. Now, we're going to have a little fun today, and we're going to do a little crowd participation with some music. And what I want you to do is I want you to name out the name of the song, shout out the name of the song, or possibly the artist that was associated with that song, okay? And so you're not going to win any cash, okay? This is not Pastor Cheryl, okay? So you don't get any cash for this. It's just a pride thing. And we would love for you to shout it out when it kind of comes to you. And I'm going to do my best to sort of, hopefully I can get this all to work out and sync up from my phone. So let me just play and see if we got it. Nope. Uh-oh. That's a problem. I think I lost my Bluetooth connection up here. Let me see if I can do it. Crazy. It worked flawlessly at 9 o'clock, let me tell you. So, but I have my little connecting thing up here, but we're going to get it working because this is a lot of fun.
Just a moment. Trying to connect.
Oh, good.
To the phone.
We're I think, huh? There we go. They're playing it for me. I know, y'all gonna play it for me? You got all of them? Okay, cool. They're already on it up there. All right, you know that one. Don't worry, be happy. Okay, here's another one. Okay, here's another one.
Almost heaven. West
John Denver, right? Country Roads or whatever they're called. Take Me Home, Country Road. All right. I can remember listening to that, singing that in fifth grade for some apparent reason. I don't know. Maybe it came out that time. All right. Here's another one for all the traditional worshipers in the house. Hallelujah Chorus. All right. Handel's Messiah, right? Okay. We're all learning something. All right. So that, hallelujah. Actually, our chancel choir is going to be back singing at 9 o'clock next week, so I'm excited about that. So, all right, here's another one coming your way. No one could get this at 9 o'clock. All right. All right, God's Country, Blake Shelton. Nobody got that at 9. Did they get that at 9? Nobody got that at 9 o'clock, so it's a little bit different crowd, maybe. So here's one for all of us. Dancing Queen by ABBA, right? This just makes you happy, doesn't it? When you hear this sort of thing. I know Jamie's enjoying this, my wife, so she loves that. All right. Now here's one for you. Anybody know the movie? The Purge.
This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge. Police, fire, and emergency medical services.
All right, that's enough. That's a creepy one. I put that in there. It's going to come back to play here in just a moment. We've been talking about music is the scripture of the culture, and you might agree with that. You might disagree with that. I don't know. I think it is. A lot of times, culture is not reading scriptures like you and I are. They're listening to music for good or bad. They're listening to things that speak truth, perhaps. Also, sometimes that talks about love, you know, and it's speaking some sort of truth about love, but then it's sort of changing things up. We've talked about that on our Wednesday night solo music study. We talked about how some songs speak about love that is more of infatuation and attraction than the real love that Pastor Eric talked about last week. Right? Agape love, or a love that needs to truly be shared between friends or family, or maybe a husband and wife. So we have a lot of truth that is projected through songs that we can actually glean out of that. And if we believe all truth comes from God, then we can, if we find truth in a song, whether it's a Christian song or secular song, then we can discover some sort of truth, okay? And it's like God's scriptures, songs speak to our hearts and our minds, our souls, and they can speak truth. So again, our scripture for the entire series is a portion from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. If you have your scripture, break it out. We're going to be looking at this, and then we're going to dive into verse 9 and 10 here in a moment as well. This is what it says. Peter says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you speak, you should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If you serve, you should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." So the question arises when I read that portion of scripture. We've been talking a little bit about how we can have a righteous response to things in our life. How can we live as a Christian? How do we live as a faithful follower of Jesus and impact a broken culture around us? How do we deal with the brokenness in which we live in that culture? I mean, there are some great ideas on how we should live and impact the culture and live within the culture. And then there's some very, very bad ideas. There, in a Christian culture, even the things that come out of Christian culture, the things that come out of what are called the biblical Christian culture, there are some bad ideas as well. I mean, I'm playing it a little bit when I talk about The Purge, but that movie, basically, if you don't know anything about the movie, like, you can kill people, like, and you don't get charged, like, for 24 hours. Because those people are different than us, or we're mad at them, or we don't like what they brought into our culture, whatever. And in that little song that we were, it goes further and some music kicks in, but there's this announcement. It says, "Sanctioned by the U.S. government, Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn. May God be with you all as you try not to get killed or you go kill people. I mean, just think about that. As Christians, though, as people of the book, and we believe God's truth comes to us through the book, the Bible, but we also receive it through some experiences and some traditions and some reason in our life, right? But ultimately, that's the primary source is God's Holy Scripture. And we want to follow the will and the ways of God, as we talked about the first week, be alert and sober to the will and ways of God. And we want to live a life that Jesus lived. We want to be a reflection of him to the world and to our families, our friends. But we need to understand the very nature of God and how he related to culture, right? And what his scripture says about how we should deal with people, how we should deal with the brokenness of the culture around us and how we thus can impact that culture for him and not just allow the culture to impact our faith, but our faith to impact the culture. If we're looking at Peter's instructions in our scripture, he is speaking directly to Christians in the first century, and he is saying this is how a Christian should live their life in a contemporary culture. And we can apply that to our culture as well, I think. Among believers or unbelievers, wherever we find ourselves. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, the entire chapter, you can go back and you can read it, it actually talks about how we're called to arm ourselves in order to go out into the world. And we're called to arm ourselves with something. And what is it that we're called to arm ourselves with? Well, it's a spiritual armor, of course. That's what Peter tells us. And then he also says you're supposed to have the same attitude that Christ had. And what was that attitude? Well, it wasn't just a positive attitude. It wasn't like, oh, Jesus was a positive guy. That's not what it was. It was a particular righteous response in attitude to somebody who is going to be faithful in following God. And for us, what does it mean for us to be faithful in following Jesus? And so let me recap kind of what we looked at, what we've learned in the soul of music so far. Be alert and sober to the will and ways of God. Above all, love, as Pastor Eric said and talked about last week. And then in this portion of scripture, it gets into hospitality. It gets into service of all. And you do it all for the glory of God. And we're going to get into that next week. In this Johnny Cash song, I Walk the Line, which many of us love, we're wondering exactly how does that tie into service or hospitality? I mean, what does the song have to do with anything? If you look it up in the Urban Dictionary, if you look up I Walk the Line and you want a definition of it, you get this: to behave, to abide by the law and or to abide by moral standards, to walk a straight path of decency by following the rules, to walk the straight and narrow. So if you know some of the story of Johnny Cash, you've seen the movie or whatever, I mean, here's a man who was addicted to drugs. He ultimately ended up in prison like 7 times, okay? And he either writes this song or he sings this song that's sort of a personal story of like he wants to walk the line. He wants to walk the straight and narrow, but he has some brokenness in his life. And so how do we live as Christians? We know, we immediately think of, well, how did Christ walk? And how do we, are we supposed to walk in the will and ways of God? We're supposed to walk as righteous followers of Christ. And what does righteousness mean? It means right path, to walk the right path, to walk the right and narrow path, okay? And that's righteousness. And in godly wisdom, we can walk that narrow and straight path. Now, just because we walk, here's the tension, just because we walk that path, just because we have dedicated our lives to follow Christ, to know the truth, to live out of the will and ways of God, doesn't mean everybody does, right? The people we encounter all the time, they don't live like we live. They don't have the same beliefs. There's Christians that are still dealing with some brokenness and trying to shed some of the things in their own life, right, that they have dealt with for years. But we know just because we do something doesn't mean others are going to do it. And that's the culture that we live in. And why we expect them to do it, I haven't figured out yet. Because we can't expect somebody to live the way that we want them to live if they don't know the truth, if they don't say that they espouse to that sort of belief and that sort of understanding. And thus we fall into greater judgment, or maybe we fall into wanting to separate ourselves from that. And so how do we deal with them? Do you see where all this comes into play? How do we deal with this? And the wisdom of Johnny Cash, okay, is in this song, there was, "You've got a way to keep me on your side." Immediately, that's something I hear and I go, okay, if this is a song espousing, expressing truth, and this is a cultural song, so all of a sudden, "You've got a way to keep me on your side." I'm gonna tune into that, right? And it says, "You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you, I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line." Now, I think about that, and maybe I'm stretching it a little, but a righteous response for a follower of Jesus Christ is, because the love of God, because we follow Jesus, we're alert and sober to the will and ways of God. And to be alert and sober to the will and ways of God, it actually makes us what? We reach out and we try to love others, and we try to serve others. And Peter gives us that instruction today, as he says in verse 9 and 10, "Do this, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Yes, Peter is encouraging those who are Christians living among Christians. But if we understand the context of Scripture, we understand there weren't a whole lot of Christians around at that time. Rome wasn't a Christian nation, like America's a Christian nation and all that. I mean, there wasn't. And so very similar probably to our culture in some forms and fashion, right? And so he says, offer hospitality and serve others. And I'm going to kind of bring those together a little bit. Just let me have the liberty there to make it simple for us. But offer hospitality, serve others, be friendly to those you know and strangers. Be friendly to your neighbor. Serve others without murmuring, without complaining, without grumbling. Because when you grumble, it just spoils hospitality altogether, right? And a righteous response of a follower of Jesus is this. If you love truth, this is it. We are never called to leave the world, but to go out into the world to serve. Scripture, whether you like it or not, especially in the New Testament. I mean, we fall under a new covenant, right? Not the old covenant, not the old. Scripture never teaches us to disengage with the world. It teaches us to serve the world. And we can use Christian hospitality and Christian service to make an impact on our world, on our culture, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our community. We understand this world isn't our eternal home. But what does Jesus teach? He says, go and be the light of the world, right? And a lot of times we want to be the light of heaven. Well, trust me, God's light of heaven, okay? We can't wait to get away. Can't wait to get away from those people. You know, I mean, it's that type of attitude that separates the church too much from the people we're called to serve. Jesus says, go out into the world and serve. We're never called to actually leave it. At some point in time when you die, you're going to go away. You can't control that, right? And so you're going to another place. But I love that line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. I want to bring that back up. You got a way to keep me on their side. And what's that way? That way is hospitality. It's service. Because hospitality and service of Christians says, I'm on your side. I'm on your side. I love you. I don't know all your story, but I'm going to be hospitable to you, and I'm going to serve you, right? And it's probably a calling that Christians in the church, that's how we're supposed to respond to the world. And a lot of times, that going back to those bad ideas, what the bad idea is, we're supposed to remove ourselves from that sort of thing. But Jesus said, go and be the light of the world. Talking about hospitality, my beautiful wife, Jamie, does such a great job, and maybe you do this, male or female, in your house. I don't know. She works so hard to make our home comfortable, cozy, welcoming. It's like, I'm so practical. I'm like, I'm just going to go buy some you know, Chick-fil-A for the boys in the morning when they have friends over. And she's like, no, we're going to cook eggs and we're going to have casserole and we're going to, you know, it's hospitable, it's cozy, it's welcoming, those type of things. And I'm blessed for that. And she blesses other people for that. Our youth director, Chris McCarthy, he's got the gift of hospitality too and service, I think. And his wife, Lisa, does too. But I think that he has this ability to serve our youth, serve our church, and he came up with this great idea, right, to serve our neighbors. And he found this apartment complex that's just across 1960. They're our neighbors, okay? And it's right behind CVS right over there on the corner, and it's the park at Salerno. And these apartments, we went last month and we cooked burgers and hot dogs for them and just gave them a free, you know, dinner and just said, hey, we're here if you need a church. We're here to serve you. We're here to love on you. We're here to be there for you. And I love that. Last night, or Friday night, we were supposed to have like a movie night, pizza and popcorn there for all the residents. And the, of course, the weather canceled that. But I think about all that. I mean, who knows what the return is going to be on that? The return investment. Who knows? But we're going to be faithful to what God has called us to do as a church and people following Jesus, and our hospitable lives and lives of service are going to soften the hearts of people to hear the gospel. It's just how it works. We see it over and over again in Scripture. We see it over and over again in our world. If you want to speak to somebody about Christ, about their faith, I mean, go out to lunch with them, right? Take them to dinner. Invite them over for dinner or just a time to hang out. I mean, there's a lot of time because when you're hospitable and you serve others, it softens their heart to want to listen and hear the gospel. Now, we are never called to leave the world, but to go out into the world to serve. And you can see why that's so important for us to think about in today's world, because we get so fed up with the brokenness of the world. And we're like, I just want to get out of here, right? Or I just want to leave it. Or I just want to fend off. Or I just want to buy some property and I'm just going to stay up there, right? And I'm going to stay away from everybody. But that's not what we're called to do. That's the solution that a lot of Christian cultures have for some reason developed. You know, if you just remove yourself from the whole problem of the situation, and I'm thinking, well, why do we need the gospel if we removed ourselves, right? A lot of times, why do we need to preach the gospel? We can't go anywhere and preach it because we're just preaching to our people that already know the gospel. I mean, it's just the strangest thing in the world. But so what have we learned so far? We've learned that God provides, I think, instruction to live in the present culture, among believers and unbelievers. So the last two weekends, Friday nights, I've spent in a hotel room, in a Marriott and in a Hilton, so two different chains. And when we showed up to the one in Tyler a couple weekends ago, the TV remote was packaged in a Ziploc like type of like security bag. Like, I mean, I had to like tear it open. It was like the remote for the TV was totally clean and no one had touched it. You know, I mean, I don't know what they did with it, right? They stuck it in something and totally sterilized it or whatever, and they wanted to make you feel comfortable and you had to open it up. This last Friday night, we were down outside of Waco Temple and staying in this hotel, and there was literally a sticker on the door in the door frame. And so it was put there by housekeeping, and until you broke the seal, it was perfectly clean, okay? And so I think about that. Very hospitable for us in a pandemic world, and I felt like everything's clean, everything's nice, all that sort of thing. The early church, the time of Peter and Paul and James and John and even Jesus, okay, the early church, there was no place to stay that was that clean. You would say, well, hey, you know, I mean, just go to an inn. The inns were full of diseases. The inns were not even readily available, and they were certainly very immoral. Some some immoral actions were going on. So they weren't the safest place to be. They were super, super nasty and dirty. So hospitality made mission work possible in the first century, in the second century, as the church began to grow. Because think about, for 200 plus years, the church met in homes. There was no beautiful sanctuary like this. There was no church campus at all. It was in homes. If people weren't hospitable to open their home, you wouldn't have a church. I mean, that's like 200 plus years. That's a long time. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. But the problem with hospitality, the problem with reaching out to people maybe that are broken is, and serving folks, is, man, there's some hassles, right? People are messes, aren't they? I mean, we're a mess, right? But people are dirty, and there are just some messes that we walk into. People are inconvenient, and we're uncomfortable, but we're called to do it all for the glory of God. We're called to serve all, and we're called to offer hospitality, and that helps us. So as we offer hospitality to people, draw them in, maybe put down our fences, draw them in, it's a way of serving them. So questions arise for me. Who are you serving? Who are you offering hospitality to? Have you removed yourself from the world to where nothing uncomfortable really has to come your way, and you're not serving anybody uncomfortable? Do you only serve when it is comfortable to you? And I know I'm preaching to the choir on that. I mean, I'm preaching to myself on this, okay? I love comfortable, and I love clean, okay? And I love it to fit into my schedule, trust me. But who's the last person that was in need who stayed in your home, right? And I know this happens all the time. I've heard the stories of people in here. They have reached out. They have been inconvenienced by family and friends and people in need, and they have done it, and they were willing to show hospitality even though it inconvenienced them. And so it happens, but it softens people's hearts. But who's the last person that you helped who was lost, right? That was really different than you? Johnny Cash's wisdom, he says, I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. And that's true. We need to keep a close watch on our heart because our hearts are important to God. But God calls us to something. And God might be calling you to something. God might bring an opportunity into your life that he doesn't bring to me, okay? And he will provide the protection for you. He will. If he's called you to it, he's going to provide the protection, and then he's going to give you the grace to see you through the very thing that he called you to. I mean, that's just who God is, okay? Or he's not going to call you to something. I think about people who have left the world. You remember the Branch Davidians? If you watched this series, Waco, I guess, it was on Netflix or something. We watched it over the pandemic. And I know the Branch Davidians weren't probably the best examples of Christian folks, but the one thing that I think got them into trouble was is they sought to build a compound and leave the world. They sought to be not just different, but actually to isolate themselves. And when you do that, what happens is it breeds an unhealthiness in your theology. It breeds an unhealthiness in the people. And so we must stay away from that mentality as Christians altogether. We're called to do life connected, to be the light of the world, Jesus says, right? So we're never called to leave the world, but we're called to go out into the world and serve. Above all, serve all. Above all, love all, right? All this simple stuff, but when we serve all, we have to step into messes a lot of times. We have to step into hopeless situations, but it takes God's will and God's ways and God's love, and if we take that with grace and hope and faith and forgiveness into the world, boy, I'll tell you, it's going to open up a lot of eyes and ears to what Christ wants to do in people's lives. And it doesn't relieve the tension that you have and I have with what's out there in the world. It's going to still be there. But God's going to continue to call us. Let me take a personal liberty as I close with this. I just want to share something from my heart. It is such a great privilege to serve this church. And I love to serve all who seek, call this home, and it's hard to do that at times. You know, we live in a strange time, but it's a pastor's dream to be able to serve at this great church and the great history and privilege, the prestige that we have here. And we're going 50 years this year, 2021's 50 years of ministry. People have gone before us, people have come and gone, and then we want to be around for 50 more years, right? But I know there's also challenges. I mean, it's a great privilege, but there's some challenges. I mean, we're trying to figure out how to not be a handful of people in like 10 years, right? I mean, we want to be existing for another 50 years and be a vibrant, dynamic church. And so we've had some transitions. We're dealing with worship times. We're dealing with, you know, pastors come and go, and we have a new pastor, you know, and so things change, and we're dealing with COVID and all sorts of crazy stuff. But it's a privilege to serve here. And I know that I speak for all staff and all the pastors. It is truly a privilege to call this place our home, and we're blessed all the time. Now, thank you for all of those people who join in and give. Thank you for all those people who serve and use their gifts, right, as we're called, and offer hospitality and outreach and service, whatever it is. And thank you to all those that those folks who have sort of put their own personal wants and desires and sort of to the side and sacrificed, because it's hard, right? It's hard to make changes and keep up with the times and deal with, you know, COVID, like I said. I mean, a lot of crazy stuff. And so a lot of people have to set their own agendas aside, and I have to do that a lot, and basically said, this is for the greater good, for the future generations, so that they can be blessed by this church, right? So we're called to love all, serve all for the glory of God. And we should do that for fellow believers, but we should also do that for unbelievers, those people we encounter each and every day that frustrate us, don't believe like we believe, don't have the same values we have. But we are never, ever, ever called to leave this world, but to go out into the world to serve. So we're called to do all that for the glory of God, right? We're called to serve. We're called to be the light of the world, to go into the world. Not to leave it, but to serve it, to love those that we encounter in it. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the invitation that you give to each and every one of us as your believers, Lord. And a lot of times we spend so much time trying to figure out our own issues and everybody else's issues out there that we forget that you have died for our sins and you have equipped us with the good news. And Lord, maybe you use hospitality, maybe we use service to break into the culture that is so consumed with itself. And may that be our leading example as we go and we soften hearts and you soften hearts so that we can share the gospel and connect more to Jesus. Lord, thank you again for that challenge. If we have forgotten that, I pray that you empower us today and that we actually believe that in the midst of all of that, you're going to strengthen us and you're going to give us the very thing we need to serve you as the light of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Please stand with us as